Just all the wonderful blessings that we enjoy, physical and spiritual, and we're grateful for that, and we praise and we honor God. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes, you know, God doesn't answer our prayers, right? He doesn't answer them the way that we want Him to answer those prayers, and we seek, right? We ask, we seek, we knock, but sometimes God is silent to us. Matthew 7:7, right? We're told to ask, seek, and knock, but sometimes He just doesn't answer our prayers the way that we want Him to. Now, this evening's lesson is kind of an extension of our lesson this morning on grace, but I want to look at grace from a different view, a different aspect. And so let's think about that this evening. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, we pray many times earnestly for something, for God to intervene, to change something, for something to happen in our lives. And when He doesn't, sometimes even our zeal for Him seems to be crushed. Right? We might start to say or even think, you know, is it worth it? What did I do wrong? Is God mad at me? You know, all these kind of things. You know, does He care? Is He listening? And it can be, I think, a very dangerous position we put ourselves in spiritually. You know, we sing a song sometimes in our songbooks, 507. I just want to read verse 1 to you. Does Jesus care? And it reads, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. You know, sometimes we get sad, right? We get depressed. We're asking God for things, and it's just not going how we want it to go. And we start to wonder why. Well, 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, right? Paul had done some great things in his life for the Lord, even before he was converted, right? Very zealous for God, very zealous for the Jewish religion. And of course, he was converted. And no one could argue that Paul wasn't zealous for the Lord, right? He did a lot of great things. You know, half of the book of Acts is dedicated to all the works that he did, bringing the message of Christ to the Gentile world. And for that, we're thankful. He was very zealous. He did a lot of great work. But of course, Paul suffered many things after becoming a disciple of Christ. And it seems even for Paul sometimes, heaven was silent. And so Paul here in the book of 2 Corinthians wanted the brethren at Corinth to understand some things here. And so what he does is he tells them his story. Right? And it's a powerful story to teach them and us that sometimes, you know, when God doesn't answer prayers in the way that we want Him to, or He allows certain things to occur in our lives that aren't fun, they're difficult, they're tough, that there's a divine perspective behind it that God wants us to see. So he's going to tell his story here. So read just a little bit with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Now remember, he got to see into paradise. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Right? So we're being taught basically how to use bad situations to strengthen us spiritually. You know, whatever that bad situation might be, and I don't even really want to call them bad situations necessarily, it's just life. Yeah, there's difficulties, that, you know, whether it's family problems, marriage problems, financial problems, spiritual problems, health problems, or all of the above. So what he wants us to see here is that when we are weak, when we need help, then, that's when we fully rely upon God and his grace. In other words, we fully trust in God. We talked about that this morning. That's basically what faith is. It's an absolute full trust and reliance upon God. Right? Trust and obedience, that's faith. That's the biblical definition, if you will. And so what I want to do here, if you have your Bible open, is back up and think this all the way through, this event with Paul. Let's ask and let's knock and let's seek here some things this evening. And so what we can do is we can go back in the life of Paul, especially just here in chapters 11 and 12, just alone, and look at what was going on in Paul's life, what he was using as a teaching tool for the Church of Corinth, and of course us today. Right? And so he's got this thorn in the flesh. Of course, we don't know what that is, or what that was, rather, but we do know, if we backed up here in chapter 11, right, if Paul could put up with the beatings and the shipwrecks and the hunger, and this thorn would have been pretty bad. And, you know, this thorn had to be something that no one would desire to have. You know, Paul's a pretty tough fella, and he went through a lot. Right, so it had to be pretty bad. Still, yet Paul, you know, in the end, really, once you get down here to what he said in verse 10 in chapter 12, hey, if I can learn from it, it helps my soul, bring it on. Is my summary when I read what Paul says here, right? But look back a little bit here at some of the words that Paul wrote, and try to figure out how he felt during this time. So back up to chapter 11 and read just a handful of verses. Verse 24, chapter 11. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. A lot of perils, right? In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things. I wonder what those other things were. So, Paul went through a lot as a disciple of Christ. You know, and what we know about Paul also is prayer was a great part of his life, of his faith. And when you read of his prayers, what he's praying for, most of the time it's for other people, for the brethren, for churches, right? For evangelism opportunities, doors of opportunity. Right? And he wasn't praying for himself, you know, unless it was to be able to go somewhere and encourage the brethren. And so he was very selfless in his prayer life. And so we see that Paul would pray these kind of prayers. Now, this thorn that Paul was dealing with, let's think about this for just a moment. Chapter 12, verse 8. I want you to note this. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord. Now, the word pleaded is parakaleo in the Greek. And it's a very powerful word. And we see it used several different places in Scripture. And so I got a short list here. You don't have to look at any of these. But I want us to understand this word just a little bit more. So consider the other places that it was used. This word is used when a leper came to Jesus begging him. That's what this word means. It's a pleading, it's a begging, it's a beseeching, right? It's an imploring. Right? The leper came to Jesus begging him to make him clean in Mark 1 and verse 40. It was used when a father came to Jesus pleading earnestly for the life of his little girl. in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. It was used in the parable of the unforgiving servant when that servant begged his master to have patience for him in Matthew 18 and verse 29. It was used by the demons who pleaded with Jesus in Mark 8 to be cast into the herd of swine. And it's the word that Jesus uses to describe the father of the prodigal son, who goes out and entreats or begs the older brother to come in and join in the celebration in Luke chapter 15. So it's a strong word. And Paul says that he begged, that he pleaded to remove this thorn. And remember, Paul's usually praying for other people. This had to be pretty bad. And that's the point I want us to get from this. You know, it almost seems like Paul doesn't fully understand why God hadn't removed this thorn after begging and pleading and beseeching God. Right? It just seems like he didn't seem to understand why at first, right? It wasn't his faith, right? Paul was very faithful. It wasn't his works. Right? Paul was always busy working for the church. It wasn't his love. Paul loved his neighbor as himself. He loved everybody. Right? And so, just like Paul, I think sometimes, usually, it seems maybe we struggle with this also. Right? We do why? Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this, whatever it is? You know, why me, God? Everyone else seems to be doing great. Right? Look at all they have and all they get to do. Why should I have all these problems? Why can't everything work for me like everybody else? I've done all these great things for you, Lord. Right? I go to church 3 times a week. Right? I pray every day. I read my Bible every day. So why are these things happening? Right? And so the temptation is, when we're faithful, is the temptation is, well, Jesus ought to make my life easier then. If I'm this faithful, my life ought to be a whole lot easier than it is. Right? And see, the problem with that, that puts the emphasis on me and not God. Right? So we got to understand, and I say it all the time, God's not about making me happy, right? And that's not his purpose. God is about making me holy, and I think I need to understand that and have that proper perspective here. So, you know, one of the things that maybe we struggle with quite a bit, and I'm sure this is mainly a problem throughout human history, not necessarily a 21st century American view on things, but, we got to be shooting for first place on this. We kind of think that everything should be about us. Everything should be about making us happy and comfortable and at ease. Right? We kind of live in a world of entitlements. We're told what we deserve, right? It's my right. Right? Remember even McDonald's. Remember they used to, their ad, you deserve a break today. Remember that? That was a big thing for a while. Well, no, you don't. Right? What we do deserve, like we talked about this morning, only thing that we've earned, only thing we deserve, Romans 6:23, is death, right? The wages of sin is death. That's the only thing that we deserve. But God steps in and he offers us grace. So it's not all about me, right? It's about helping me see things from a divine perspective. Whatever these trials, whatever these issues, it's about me seeing things from a divine perspective. That is God admonishing us, chastening us, maturing us, helping us grow, because he loves us enough to prune us, to clean us, to teach us. John 15, 1 through 6. And so Paul tells us why God allowed this thorn in the flesh. It's because, you know, God didn't want Paul to become conceited, maybe start to think it's all about him. And so you see, God had gifted Paul in many ways. Look at verse 7, right? Surpassingly great revelations. You know, maybe that could even be a handicap if we're not humble. Right? When we start to think of ourselves as being more important than we really are in the eyes of others. Right? We start to think how great we are instead of how great thou art. And so maybe we need to be humbled. Maybe this is God's way of chastening us. to give us what we need and not what we want. And so we note the Lord's response, or we see Paul's response, and then the Lord. Let me say it again. We see the Lord's response and then Paul's, right? And we know it. I read it a moment ago. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so then Paul says, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Right? You see, heaven didn't remain silent forever to Paul. Right? Basically, Paul, it's not about your comfort. Rather, it's about making you holy. You know, Paul, I want you to see things from a divine perspective, and that's the answer. Right? So if we get that situation, why, Lord? Please, Lord, a begging, a pleading, a beseeching, remove this from my life, fix this in my life. The answer may very well be, my grace is sufficient. Right? That's a divine perspective. And Jesus revealed himself to Paul and gave him a very short answer. Right? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul gives that answer there because Jesus doesn't always tell everyone this answer in the sense, of course, with Jesus speaking to Paul here directly. Right? We get our answer from Scripture, guiding us in God's answers. Right? And then, of course, you know, he works providentially for sure. But the answer is really the same for all of us. Our problem, I think, becomes listening through all the noise. Right? There's so much pleading for our attention. Then listening to God becomes difficult with all the chaos and distractions. You know, this thorn was not given to Paul because Paul was bad, right? But rather to mold him into the holiness of God, right? That's why God allowed it, and God didn't move it. And I'm sure in the end, Romans 8 and verse 8, that first moment in glory, worth it all. I guarantee that first moment Paul was in the presence of the Father, he's like, that thorn is nothing. It's absolutely worth it. Consider this. Go back to 1 Kings, if you would, in your Bible. I just want to mention this, and we're going to begin to finish up this evening. And look at the end of Elijah's life. Right, had this great battle with, you know, the evils of Jezebel and her prophets, Mount Carmel, right, and given this great victory. Elijah then, he's on the run. He's hiding for verse 10, chapter 19, 1 Kings. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Right? The old why me, Lord? You know, the question that we ask many times. But if you look at verses 11 through 13, God, right, takes him to the mountain, had him stand in a cave. Then came a powerful wind, but the Lord was not in the wind. After that, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there came a gentle whisper. Verse 12, a still small voice, my Bible says. And it was in that quietness when Elijah understood nothing came but the voice of God. And God was in control the whole time. Right? He's letting Elijah know this. You go down to verse 18, right? He tells him 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah, I've been in control the whole time. Just like Elijah, we sometimes look for God in all the wrong places, or all the competing things of this world are distracting me. But when I do have this sense of peace, that gentle whisper, if you will, my grace is sufficient for you, usually it doesn't come in the time and the place when I expect it. You know, most of the time, the answer I need to hear is the one Paul shares in his story here, right? My grace is sufficient, right? In his voice that I need, it's right there. It's the Word of God, right? Again, Romans 10:17 from this morning, right? That's where faith comes from. It comes from the Word of God. That's God speaking. And I need to realize that it's not about my works. It's not about my merit, about what I deserve, but rather it's about his grace and his desire to extend that to me. And he is extending that grace to me, even in the midst of a pain and suffering in a chaotic world. Right? We tend to think, well, God's withholding his grace when I'm going through these things, but the opposite is true. Right? That's when he's really extending his grace to us. So by way of conclusion this evening here, think of these things in this way, and I want to read something to you here. When I am weak, I am strong. Right? And again, up front, that seems like a very unusual statement. Right? And it's, you know, the Bible, it's filled with the paradoxes, right? It almost seems like a paradox. And Paul here understands that strength comes from the Lord. And many times what the Lord allows us to suffer, right, drives us to our knees. Absolutely drives us to our knees. And that's what we need. Right? That's when we have a full reliance upon God. That will keep us faithful, make us more faithful. Right? So if you have a thorn in your flesh, that's God loving you. That's God teaching you. Excellent. Let me do this before I read this. I got a little short poem I want to read. Let me add this in here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think this is fitting here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Right. Remember, 2 Corinthians is a book of comfort, if you will. Great way to describe the book. And God is wanting to comfort us. And so it's just filled with wonderful statements. You can go all the way back to verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, therefore we do not lose heart. Basically, we have the gospel. And then you go to verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed in every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light, momentary affliction is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then he goes on there, he's basically saying, that's why we look at the eternal things that we can't see yet, right? The things that we see, they're only temporary, but we're casting our vision to the spiritual, to the eternal. Then he talks about in chapter 5, verse 1, this temporary body, if it's destroyed, that's okay, we have a heavenly home. Then he goes on to verse 7, that's where we get the important statement of, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And then that develops, of course, all the way through to Paul's story and the thorn in the flesh that we talked about. Listen, we need to find joy and contentment in our relationship with the Lord, right? Not in the physical circumstances around us. You know, so if we become angry at God because of our circumstances, we don't need to change our circumstances. We need to change our hearts. We need to change our perspective on those things. Right? You need to trust that God's looking out for you. Right? And you can't always change your circumstances, but you can always change your response to those circumstances. So let me read this. This is very interesting. This is written by an unknown Confederate soldier in the midst of the Civil War. And he wrote this, very timely. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. I am among men most richly blessed. And I love that part there. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. And that's our lesson to be learned here in this lesson, especially this evening. Let's remember the words of Jesus, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And to kind of tie in both of the lessons this morning and this evening, the grace of God, fascinating topic. We can't study it enough. Such a wonderful topic. And what I need to remember as a Christian is the cost of that grace, not taking it for granted, but also not minimizing it. And thanking God that He extends that grace to me through faith. And so if you're here this evening, you've never obeyed the gospel, understand you do not have the grace of God in your life. Right? We access grace through faith. And faith is trust and obedience. You need to obey the gospel. And God freely gives that grace. It's a free gift. It's available to everyone no matter your past. So if you haven't done that, let's take care of that. Or maybe you've done that and you've fallen away. Maybe it was a thorn in your flesh that caused pain in your life or distraction. And you walked away from the grace of God and you're ready to come back. Whatever it is, let's take care of that this evening. Let us help you as we stand, as we sing.